Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, America's original 12-step radio show. From addiction to recovery, from despair to encouragement, and everything in between. This is real life. And now, Steppin' Out Radio.
My name is Al McDougall. I want to welcome you to Steppin' Out Radio. My role in the United Steelworkers Union is the director of the emergency response team, where we help families that have gone through fatality or critical injury. And as I was into this program more and more over the last 10 years, we discovered that a lot of our members are going through post-traumatic stress in the workplace, substance abuse, opioid addiction, and post-traumatic stress disorder, and suicides. I think that's five I mentioned. I probably repeated it, but it's suicide. So we have a lot of suicides, and we looked at the suicide topic. We found a lot of people that had in their background substance abuse issues. So I'm here today to interview you, and I want to thank you for being here, to being so candid about your experiences. And we just want to talk about what your life is like, what changed, and what it's like today. And I'd like to begin, and so welcome to the show, Marcel.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Okay. So when you started, looking back at your youth, how old would you think you were when you first got involved with alcohol?
I didn't have to think about it too long. It was about 18 years old.
Yeah, and what were you doing at that time in your life?
I got out of high school, and actually I was just starting to get out into the work field.
Okay.
And dating scene and bar hopping and girl chasing and doing all the things a young man does.
Yeah. Did you ever, looking back, this is a question that was asked a lot in my interviews. Did you ever drink for pleasure or was it always for effect?
It started out all as just to have fun.
Sure.
And the more you drank, I guess you thought you were having more fun, but then you ended up drunk.
Right. Were you ever in trouble at work because of that?
I don't know if I should answer that, but now that I'm retired, it's fine. I can answer it all.
Sure.
Yeah, I got sent home a couple of times.
Okay.
Got told to go home and sober up. And a few times I got told to go hide in a corner somewhere until I didn't stink like booze.
Right.
And, yeah, I had a bit of an issue.
How old do you think you were when you realized you may have a problem? When you knew it was more than fun? Or did you ever think it was more than fun?
Ooh, that's a little tough. I don't know. I just kept drinking.
Sure.
I didn't relate it to whether it was fun anymore.
Okay.
The drinking kind of progressed with the age. As I got older, you drank different. Yeah, I stopped going to bars, but I kept socializing at home or going out of other people's houses and socializing. Or you're out in work and you're going after work and getting all liquored up and driving home when you shouldn't.
Sure.
Meeting the consequences when you get home.
So, hearing your conversation, would you say that most of your friends were drinking buddies at that time?
All of them.
All of them were drinking?
All of them.
Yeah, so we kind of were attracted to what we are, correct?
Well, never hung out with anybody that didn't drink. They weren't fun. They wouldn't have been fun.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Did it ever cause you health issues, do you think?
I don't know about health issues. I caused my own health issues, but yeah, if you relate that way, probably because I get drunk, get into a fight, and I'm needing some medical attention after. But
sure.
I don't know. I was fairly healthy and robust.
Sure.
In the later years, yeah, it has. It has in my later years, but not when I was a young man.
Did anyone else but the company ever approach you about your drinking habits and talk about them?
And the police?
No, well, like anyone, like your family or your spouse.
No,
or?
I kind of hid that as best I could. I don't have to think. My parents knew that I was a little wild child. I drank, yeah, and I had some issues, and I went to the Steelworkers Union Hall, and I dealt a couple times with the EAP, and tried to go down the right track for a short period of time, and then you get off that track and.
Sure.
Back into that wild life.
Okay. What do you think were some of your, did you drink specifically on weekends or was it every day or did it progress that way?
Hey, mostly on weekends, and then when you went on the shift work, it would be on your days off, and then you tend to hang out with the guys that were on the same shift so you could party on you'd be on the same schedule, so you could party. Sometimes it'd end up being during the week, and when you were off on the weekends, yeah, it would. You get off Thursday night, you go to bed after night shift, you get up Friday and sober up, I guess, or stop drinking Sunday evening because you had to go back in on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was when you're off on the weekends. I could honestly say that I was drinking every day on the weekend.
So tell me, how many years did this continue? Were there any periods of sobriety, short periods of sobriety between the time that you finally did quit?
I messed up my first marriage over alcohol and a little bit of drugs at the time, and took responsibility for that and caused me a divorce. And then got into it pretty heavy after that divorce, and then kind of sobered up, met a nice lady, and we got married, and I took a leave of absence from alcohol for about, I don't know, I'm going to say about eight, nine years. She wasn't a drinker. And I took that leave of absence for about 8 years. I became more of a social drinker then.
Okay.
When company would come to the house, or occasions like Christmas or whatnot, different occasions. She wouldn't tolerate the excessive amount of alcohol.
Sure. So. Did you find that tough to abide by that?
Yeah, you?
Yeah,
it was. Well, we'd sneak a few here and there.
Sure.
She'd be a little upset, but she'd get over it.
Sure. But you never thought of joining a 12-step program at that time?
No. I didn't even know about the 12-step program, and I wasn't interested in researching
That's right.
It.
Exactly. Okay. So then after, is that marriage still on? No.
Unfortunately, she had a work-related injury.
Okay.
And went into a bad depression and ended up committing suicide.
Wow. Both of you had a lot of experiences with surrounding these topics.
Yes, yes.
So did that situation, what did that do to you, Marcel, if you'd be so open to tell
that?
Well,
I'll be as honest as it's a reality. It's nothing to hide or nothing to not be honest about. I went into a tailspin.
Okay.
Educated in the field of mental health and depression, and I got educated through spending time with my wife when she was going through her incidents with psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, pharmacists, with the amount of drugs and prescription pills and all kinds of other medications and shock treatments. There was nothing that she hadn't experienced, and while she was experiencing those issues, I was actually educating myself. And I got to be very knowledgeable about mental health and suicide and the effects of it and the signs of it. And when she passed, I kind of lost control of everything, and I went into a complete total downhill slide, that I got into the alcohol at such a high rate and with such intensity. And then I started taking prescription pills and thinking that I had been knowledgeable because I had learned from my wife experience that I could control all this. And I woke up one day out of control, that I knew I couldn't function without either one, actually. I knew earlier that I couldn't function without the booze, and then I supplemented that with prescription medications, and it kind of snuck up on me, and once it grabbed a hold of me, and I realized I couldn't function, and I tried to keep going. You think you're tough, you think you're strong, you think you can outpace it, and I couldn't, and I guess I was on a downhill slide. That the track that I was on was super fast, and I ended up having a massive coronary. And 3 months prior to that, I had a checkup, and I was without the alcohol part, but the physical checkup. And the doctor said I was in tip-top shape, that I had a body of a trained athlete. And 3 months later, I had a massive coronary, and I came within a matter of minutes. Actually, if it would have been 10 minutes longer, I would have been dead. And I went in the hospital, and during the time in the hospital, I seen my kids, the suffering and the turmoil and the anguish on their faces and the pain that they were going through. I put it in my head that I was going to change my life and get off the alcohol and medications and get in touch with somebody that would try to help me. And I had made promises that I would do that, but I didn't ever kept that promise. And a short time after I got out of the hospital, I just got back on track and went back at it full speed.
That that time that you felt that you couldn't, you knew you couldn't manage, that you were out of control, that must have been like a very soul, like that must have been a deep, deep realization about, wow, where's this stuff taking me? Like, it must have been really tough for you.
Yeah, it was tough, but you lie a lot. You don't, when you're in turmoil, for me, anyone, I was in turmoil, and once I got sort of corrected with the help of the doctors, I thought, okay, I can handle this better, and I can handle this on my own, and I can get back to try to be normal. And like I said earlier, when I got out of the hospital, it took a matter of 2 weeks. All it took was 2 weeks. Then I got back into the booze and back into the prescription drugs, but at a faster and harder pace.
Sure.
I thought I got a new heart. Not a new heart, but I got my heart fixed. So here, I'm back in good shape. Well, I can keep going at it. Now I can go at it even harder. And it was an illusion. It was nuts.
So from the time, if I could backtrack a little bit, from the time that you come out with the coronary until you have quit now, how long a time frame was that, Marcel?
8 months.
So the last kick at the cat was 8 months.
Yeah, I went on an 8 month binge.
Yes.
And then had a second heart attack.
Did you?
And ended up in some legal problems and back in the hospital for a second stent replacement and some heart repairs. And again, my kids come to see me at the hospital, and I was laying in the recovery this time, and they were looking at me, and both of them, the first time there was tears coming out of their eyes, and their eyes were wide open, and you could see the look of fear in them. The second time, I opened my eyes in recovery, and I looked at them, and that's all I saw was disgust. There was no more tears the second time.
Mm-hmm.
There was no more wide-eyed. They looked at me like with disgust.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, look, I promise you I'll quit. And their words, which stuck in my head, I'll never, never, ever forget it, was, Dad, you told us that before. You lied. You broke your promise. And it was like being shot. I don't know what being shot feels like, but it was probably the biggest pain that I had ever felt. And I had made a commitment to myself, and I told them to get a hold of a social worker. And from then on, the social worker got me in touch with a counselor, and I went to the Union Hall, and through their programs at the Union Hall, I got a fantastic gentleman that took me under his wing and got me into a 12-step rehab center, and I went in a detox and went from there to detox to rehabilitation center.
So that was the catalyst that made you change, was the laying in the hospital with a second attempt, with your children looking at you with a different demeanor than they were the first time.
Correct, yeah.
So let's describe what your life is like since that time.
I got a smile on my face if you're looking at me. People out there can't see it, but yeah. I went into rehab, and not to make light of it, it was probably one of the hardest things I think that I ever had to do in my life. It was painful. And I'm not going to lie, anybody that has to go to rehab has to go to detox. If you want to live, you have to go through it. I went through it, but in my mind, that's all I, the first 3-4 days in detox, that's all I can remember was sweating, shaking, vomiting, and major diarrhea. And that to me was more painful than probably taking the drugs and any hangover that I ever had. And then when I came out of the detox, when I went into the treatment part of it, I had put it in my head that it was over. My words to myself were, I am done. I've continued with those words today. I'm done.
So, well, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, when you say you continued, would you tell the audience how did you continue? Because that's what people need to know and want to know. How did you continue that from that time to now?
Following the 12-step programs, I got into AA. I still have total communication with my sponsor. We talk quite often on a regular basis. Just abstaining, having a clear head, working, trying to give back, I guess, a little bit. Your health changes, your eating habits change. Your clear-headedness makes you look at life a little different. And the respect that you see your family over a period of time, it doesn't happen in a day or two. They start to show to you for your willingness and your desire to not drink and do drugs ever again. And it changes your life. It makes your life so much better.
Talk about your children. What's the look on their faces today compared to the disgust, please?
Smiles.
Smiles?
Actually, we had our first Christmas this past Christmas.
Yes.
And it was there, my two daughters and their spouses, and then my one grandson. And it was their first Christmas. In my oldest daughter's 32, so it would have been their first Christmas ever in 32 years with their dad sober, and they brought it up, and they complimented me, that it was the best Christmas ever and the most enjoyable. And to me, that was a little more encouragement to keep on the right track, and with support from the rest of the family, too, and friends. And you can't do it on your own.
Your siblings must see a difference in you.
100%. They're happy to come over to the house. They learn to trust me, and they learn to know that I'm not going to BS them or whatever. They still check on me once in a while. Dad, you're not drinking. I go, no, don't even ask me that anymore.
So along with all your recipe of success with the 12-step program, attending meetings, helping others, are you, if you don't mind, this is maybe a personal question, I certainly don't need an answer, but are you also seeking outside? It talks about in the program of AA, which I'm a member of, to not be scared or to reach out for outside help. Have you reached out for outside help? Or?
Yes, I have. I've been actively seeking, I've been engaging with a mental health counselor on a biweekly basis. I see a psychologist to deal with the effects of the alcohol, the effects of the suicide, trying to keep my life going forward and going in a straight line, straight and down the straight line and a narrow road, and just doing everything right. And I see a psychologist, and we have some really good conversations, actually, and it's really, really helped me a lot. Actually, just a few weeks ago, we were talking. I said, I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to keep me as a patient. And I said, I don't know if I can go without you being there. And he says, hey, I'll be here for as long as you need. And it was a big relief.
Okay. Now, some people I've interviewed has told me that they sometimes go back to the same treatment center or the recovery home. Have you ever gone back?
Yeah, I have. I've gone back total, I think, four, maybe five times, actually.
Wow.
I've gone back to visit a friend of mine that had a relapse and was in there. And then after that, I've been driving by, and I pulled in a town, and I've stopped in. And actually, I was very fortunate because the counselors and I got along very well. And each time I've stopped in to say hi and to give them an update on how I was doing, they've asked me to speak to some of the new clients that were in there and just give them a word of encouragement. And I have a little saying that the counselors embedded in my mind. I went into rehab without any knowledge of ever being in a rehab institution in my entire life. And when I came out of detox, and they said, listen, if you follow the 12 steps and you do what's expected of you here, miracles will happen. And I'm not much of a miracle believer, but after the 48 days that I was there, I can honestly say and through my higher power or whichever, that there are miracles and they do happen.
Thank you. On a daily basis.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. I think that we're going to wrap this up very quickly or very soon. However, I want to talk to you about your relationship with the counselors. What I took from that comment that you said was that you got along very well, but I think that you may believe that that's in them to get along with you, but I think that your willingness to reach out and say, hey, I'm beat, that really helped that communication with
That was one of the big things. If you don't reach out and tell them that you're beat, and you got to accept their help because you cannot do it on your own. And they're not there to lecture you, or they may dump on you once in a while, but they're doing it because they want to give you direction to help you go. But you have to want to do it. They're just there to give you the guidelines and the tools to do it with. There was a lot of people that were in my life that helped me, and it's amazing right now how life has changed, and you get your self-confidence back, your self-respect back. You look at the stars and the moon. Actually, the first time I came into my house after I was gone for 48 days, I have a beautiful picture on my wall in my entranceway. And 90% of the time I look at it, I was drunk or stoned on prescription pills. And I came home from detox, and the first thing I saw when I walked through the door was that picture. And that picture had been hanging there for 5 years, and it was a completely new picture that I was looking at. That's how your life changes and your view of things.
And that picture was looking back at you saying, now, there's a brand new picture I see from my side.
Right. Exactly.
It's been a great talking with you, Marcel. I wish you nothing but continued success. And any parting comments or words for the audience?
Never give up. Never give up. And if you believe, miracles do happen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.